This is the best present anyone's ever given to me.
I lied to you, Cardenas said softly.
You gave me a magic potion, just like a fairy godmother.
Cardenas nodded. And you did all the work.
I did it by myself.
Wonderly seemed genuinely thrilled by the news.
You certainly did.
So I can keep on doing it, taking care of myself, watching my weight,
and looking better and better.
Chris, I love you.
Cardenas smiled back at her.
Just make sure you look good at the Nobel ceremonies.
Professor Wilmot's oral diary. Tomorrow is the 1st of May. No spring fertility rites in this habitat, of course. These people have their fertility rites all year round, actually. However, tomorrow evening there will be the second of three debates between our two candidates for chief administrator. Although a lot has happened since the first debate, not much has changed. The scientists have proven that Saturn's rings actually do harbor living microorganisms in their particles of ice. The ICU has already dispatched a shipload of science people to come and see for themselves. Urbain is in his glory, taking as much credit for the discovery as he can grab, despite the fact that he initially opposed investigating the rings at all. Ah, well, the rings have taken the spotlight away from Urbain's failed lander on Titan. The useless hulk is still incommunicado, silent as a stone. Politically, Eberle is insisting that the rings can still be mined for their water without disrupting the ice creatures. The scientists disagree, naturally. But Urbain has been strangely muted on the subject. The woman who made the discovery, Dr. Wonderly, is up in arms against Eberle, but I doubt that it will do her any good. Clever politician that he is, Eberle has offered to put her in charge of environmental protection of the rings, while he moves ahead with plans to mine them. It appears that Holly Lane's petition to overthrow the ZPG protocol will succeed. She claims to have more than 7,000 signatures, more than enough to repeal the protocol. The signatures need to be verified, of course, but that's merely a matter of form. Unless Eberle pulls some new trick. At the end of the day, however, the petition might not matter one way or the other. From all that I can see and hear, these people want to mine the rings. They want to get rich. And Eberle has told them once they begin bringing in money from the mining, then they can repeal the zero-growth protocol and start enlarging the habitat's population. It would seem that Eberle has everything his own way. He's even hinted that he would defy an IAA injunction against mining the rings. He's taken the pose that he would rather fight than give in to what he calls earthbound bureaucrats. We shall see what we shall see.
1 May 2096. The second debate. Zeke Berkowitz smiled professionally into the middle of the three cameras facing him and the two candidates, who sat at the table flanking him. Each camera was mounted on a self-balancing monopod. Two communications technicians were working behind the cameras. There were no other people in the studio. Berkowitz's smile was pleasant, unforced, but it had a sly edge to it, the professional newsman's subtle declaration that he knew more than his audience did. As the digital clock on the studio's far wall clicked to 1600, Berkowitz said, "Good evening, and welcome to the second of three debates between the two candidates running for the office of chief administrator." Berkowitz noted with pleasure the real-time readout of his audience's size, displayed on a monitor beside the clock. Virtually every household in the habitat was watching the debate. Good, he thought. Very good. But then he reminded himself that all entertainment broadcasts had been suspended for the length of this debate. People could watch vids from their personal libraries if they chose. Otherwise, the debate was the only show on the air throughout the habitat. He introduced the two candidates and explained that each of them would have 5 minutes to make an opening statement. Then the floor would be thrown open to questions phoned in by the viewers. Holly Lane, formerly Chief of Human Resources, We'll give her opening statement first.
Holly inadvertently licked her lips as all three cameras swiveled slightly to focus on her. She tried to smile as she began. Hi. You all know me, I guess, and what I'm trying to accomplish in this election. Thanks to your help, we've signed more than 7,000 people up for our petition to repeal the Zero Population Growth Protocol. 7,314 to be exact. Holly had not written out a prepared speech. The display screen built into the tabletop before her showed only rough notes of the points she planned to make. The Human Resources Department is going to verify the signatures over the next few days. So if you get a call from one of my former workers, be nice to her, or him. Once the signatures are confirmed, it'll be up to the chief administrator to declare the ZPG rule no longer valid. I expect he'll drag his feet on this, 'cause he's never been in favor of allowing women to decide their own lives. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Eberly shift unhappily in his chair. Zinged him, she thought. The real question, though, Holly went on, is how we handle population growth once the ZPG rule is abolished. We all know that uncontrolled population growth could ruin this habitat. On the other hand, that sort of scenario seems kind of remote, far off in the future. After all, we could double our population tomorrow and still have room for plenty more people. But the problem is real. We mustn't grow beyond our means. We don't want to expand our population so fast that our standard of living goes down. We don't want to become overpopulated and poor like so many countries back Earthside did. Can we regulate our growth without government rules, without laws and protocols? I believe we can. I believe we've got to, because the alternative is pretty messy. Holly glanced at Eberly, then focused back on the cameras. Now look at the problem from the other side. How can the government stop us from having babies? Is my opponent willing to force women to abort when they get pregnant? Is he going to create a police force that'll snoop into every bedroom in this habitat? With a shake of her head, Holly concluded, it's either one or the other. Either we take the responsibility into our own hands and control population growth through individual responsibility, or we face a police state that'll put women under surveillance 24/7. She looked at Berkowitz, then back at the cameras. That's all I've got to say. Thank you. Berkowitz smiled noncommittally. Thank you, Ms. Lane. And now, he turned toward Eberly, our incumbent chief administrator, Malcolm Eberly. Eberly gave his brightest smile to the cameras, plucked a sheet of flimsy from the breast pocket of his tunic, and ostentatiously crumpled it in his fist. I had prepared an opening statement, he began, but in the light of my opponent's scare tactics, I feel it's necessary, vital, really, to set the record straight. Holly craned her neck slightly to peek at the screen displaying Eberly's speech. It showed exactly what he was saying, almost word for word. He knew what I was going to say, she realized. He had me figured out before I even opened my mouth. She felt crushed. What chance do I have? He's way ahead of me all the time.
I was against the petition to repeal the ZPG protocol. Yes, that's true, Eberly said smoothly. I was against it because I didn't feel it was necessary. I knew, as all of you did, that sooner or later we would lift the ZPG restriction. It was only a matter of time. He turned to Holly and gave her a pitying look. My opponent paints a dire picture of either explosive population growth that swamps our economic capabilities, or a police state in which women are held in a sort of reproductive bondage. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have pointed out the path to a balanced, fair and free society, a society in which women can choose to have babies because we have the economic growth to match our population growth. He paused for a dramatic moment. Then, that economic growth will come from mining Saturn's rings. You, the men and women of this community, will become wealthy from selling water to the human establishments on the moon and the asteroids, on Mars and the other planets. I know that.